This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're talking about puppies and sweet paradise.
And what does all that have to do with our Christian walk?
Stay tuned and we'll let you know.
Good morning. It's a hope-filled morning here at Wake Up With Hope. And we're so glad you've joined us today.
Yes, we are excited to be here. We are officially 23 days.
That's it?
Away from the end of the year. Can you believe it? As you reflect on the past year, we pray that you will recognize the blessings of God in your life and take time to be thankful for those blessings. It's our desire that our program today will even add more blessings on top of blessings.
That's exactly right. You know, on today's program, Faith for Today will be sharing an inspiring message with us, and we're going to be talking about puppies.
We have a puppy.
Oh, we used to have a puppy. Well,
we kind of still have a puppy.
That's true.
He's only 11 months old, so I think he's still a puppy. He still acts like
one. So
we'll
talk about puppies. We're going to talk about Sweet Paradise.
Yes.
And John Lennon. Is your curiosity piqued? Well, let's get started. But first, let's take a look back at what happened on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1980, John Lennon, a former member of the Beatles, was shot and killed by an obsessed fan in New York City. The 40-year-old artist was entering his luxury Manhattan apartment building when Mark David Chapman shot him four times at close range with a .38 caliber revolver. Lennon, bleeding profusely, was rushed to the hospital but died en route. Chapman had received an autograph from Lennon earlier in the day and voluntarily remained at the scene of the shooting until he was arrested by police. A popular phrase says that danger lurks around the corner. How true that was for John Lennon, coming so close to his soon-to-be murderer with no consequence, and later to come into close contact yet again, this time to be killed.
You know, sometimes we come into close contact with sin, seemingly untouched, seemingly unfazed and unchanged. But the reality is that every time we fall into sin, we are slowly drifting away from God. Each time we are making a choice and choosing something else above our loving Savior. Though seemingly untouched, you know, we are indeed impressed and influenced for the wrong until finally sin has its own way with us. And so how important it is, friends, to be careful with what we cling to, with what we cherish and what we put first. And today, we want to encourage you to stay close to Jesus and choose Him above all else.
Amen. That's the choice that I want to make today. How about you?
Me too. Me too.
Puppies. Who doesn't love puppies?
Oh, I know I do.
I know. Me too. They're so cute, playful, yeah. Innocent, sometimes not. We know that from experience. Yeah. We never imagined that something tragic, though, could happen to them. And yet, it often does. But what if it were all preventable? And what's a puppy have to do with sin? Let's find out.
Do you remember your first dog? Mine was a brown and black German Shepherd puppy. To me, he was the cutest pup in the whole world. And I called him Darcy. Oh boy, did he have a lot of puppy fun with me and my family. But not long after we got him home, he stopped eating, so we rushed him to the vet, only to be told the worst news possible. Darcy had caught parvovirus, and he was dying. I remember clearly standing in the vet, holding my dad's hand when they brought Darcy out to see us. He looked sad and frail. When I called his name, Darcy's face lit up and his tail wagged and he looked at me with a big happy smile. I thought he was getting better, but the vet said, no, he hasn't got much time to live. Later that night, we got that dreaded phone call. I ran outside to where Darcy's kennel was. The strange feeling of sadness came over me, tears streaming down my cheeks. I climbed inside Darcy's kennel, and cried. I found out later that the one thing that could have saved Darcy from the virus was to get him vaccinated. It was a hard lesson to learn as a little boy in love with his first puppy. The world we live in is infected with a deadly virus. It's killing millions and millions worldwide. I'm not talking about the common flu virus. I'm talking about something called sin. The Bible describes sin as disobedience of God's life principles. It's because we have disobeyed these life principles that we open ourselves up to experiencing pain, suffering, sickness, and ultimately death. Is there a vaccine for our disobedience? The Bible says the result of disobeying God's life principles is death. Well, that sounds final. It also continues the thought by saying, but the gift of God is life through Jesus. You see, there is a remedy, a vaccine, and it's a gift to you. I don't know what you're going through. Maybe your struggles in life are truly unbearable. The pain, the sorrow, the guilt, the regrets, are they weighing you down? I remember when my dad was on his dying bed. My older brother sat next to him and said, "Dad, forgive me for everything that I have done wrong to you and Mum." My dad's words were, "Son, I forgave you a long time ago." All these years, my brother carried this burden of guilt, not knowing that he was already forgiven. The Bible says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sins is covered." You see, you are blessed when your wrongs are forgiven. It's like a heavy burden being lifted off you. You feel free, and a sense of peace settles down deep in your heart. This is a hope that brings you comfort, knowing that even though you don't acknowledge God, he still loves you, and that everything already has been done to help you and me, even before we accept him into our lives. Just like our first puppy, we didn't get him to the vet in time, but while you have breath in you, there is still time to receive God's vaccine, which is found in discovering Jesus. And the best way to discover Jesus is to do something very simple. Pick up the Bible and read it. Everything you need are between its pages.
Are you enjoying today's program? We want to invite you to visit our official Wake Up With Hope Facebook page and let us know. We love hearing from you. And share it with your friend, too, or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. Plus, you can always find us on YouTube by checking out our YouTube channel and keeping up with us there. When we return, Hope Harmonies brings us Sweet Paradise.
Have you lost a loved one, a close friend, a relative? Well, God promises that someday we will see our loved ones once again as we gather together beyond the sky in sweet paradise. Enjoy the melody of this song, Sweet Paradise, by Sivasa Laumpati of Hope Harmonies, and enjoy the spectacular imagery of the Micronesian island of Palau as you imagine that beautiful place.
show. All of my fears are cast away, and all of my nights are turned to day. We will walk on sweet streets of gold, meet all our loved ones young and old. Gather up there beyond the sky, sweet paradise.
Walking this life is sinful man, living this life the best I can. Wanting to know the way, the truth, trying to keep my eyes on you. Everything that troubles me will all be left behind when you set me free. And I'll journey there with you beyond the sky, sweet paradise.
There is a place where we will go, where none of our painful tears will show. All of our fears are cast away, and all of our nights are turned to day. We will walk on sweet streets of gold, meet all our loved ones young and old. Gather up there beyond the sky, sweet paradise.
Oh, is it real, Lord, is it true, that we will be standing next to you?
Take a short break now, but stay with us. After the break, we will have today's devotional thought by Faith for Today. Don't go anywhere. Wake Up with Hope. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for being here this morning.
It's now time for a devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
One of the most annoying things about GPS is when you punch in the address you want to go to and she starts dangling the directions in front of you like a schoolyard bully. Proceed to the highlighted route and then your guidance will start. But how am I supposed to get over there to your little blue line? Can you give me a little hint? Proceed to the highlighted route and then your guidance will start. Yeah, I heard you the first time. And then after a half of a tank of gas, I get all frustrated and I push the little button on the phone till it beeps and I ask, how do I get to the highlighted route? I have found 12 hair salons that can highlight your roots. Would you like to go there? No, I would not. Hebrews 11 verses 13 through 16 says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Are you living as a foreigner and a stranger to this earth? Are you acting like aliens to this planet? I'm talking about alien thinking today. Your heart is somewhere else. While others have left their heart in San Francisco, you have left your heart in another place, one we cannot yet drive to. You can't take a plane there. You can't sail a ship there. Your body is here, but your heart and your mind have already moved on to another country. Now, I have never believed at any time of my life that I was made to be average, and I imagine you feel the same way. Now, you know that my results on the ball field, on certain exams, in writing competitions, in my height, in my weight, in my shoe size, I have been most certainly average. I have never believed that I was supposed to be average, though. And despite the fact that you may look at me right now and think that I look like $1 million today, I've been broke. I grew up poor. Even in grad school, I was so poor, I couldn't afford to buy a vowel to spell the word poor. Consequently, I have quite a negative reaction whenever I become average or broke in any way. I'm allergic to it. I break out in self-analysis. When I begin my day, I'm supposed to need to duck my head as I run out the door for work so I don't bump my head on the doorframe. And I'm supposed to leap into my Batmobile that Alfred has waiting for me, warmed up and fueled up. I'm not made to be average, and neither were you. Let me tell you, this kind of thinking does not only begin with Scripture. It starts with that undeniable vision that you have had in your mind before you were old enough to begin to even understand it. God gave you the understanding from the very beginning that you were made to be the head and not the tail. But today, as you sit here, you're realizing that you must overcome at least 20 years of conditioning that said you would never be anything, or that you would never have anything, or that you would never be able to accomplish anything, or that nobody would ever love you. Some of you are still living under the curse of somebody else's words. No one will ever love you. You're stupid. You're ignorant. You're just like your dad. And all of those words have soaked down deep into your inner core, and you become fertile soil to those seeds of doubts. And you've given birth to those weeds. There's a difference in being poor in your circumstances and being poor in your attitude. You not only need to believe in God, you need to believe that God believes in you. There are people who believe in God who don't believe in themselves. Can you imagine that? You have to believe that God has prepared a city for you. You may be renting, or the house you're making payments on may not look like much, but the Creator of all things and all that there is, was, and ever shall be, paid your eternal mortgage in full with His blood. And your priceless home is not simply waiting for you. It's yours today. Right now, He gave it as a gift, and now it's yours. I have a purpose. You have a purpose. And as long as there is a blip on the heart monitor or a defibrillator handy, nobody can take what you have. A purposeful present and a fantastical future. It's yours. He gave it to you, unfair and unsquare, but it's yours. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9, verses 16 and 17, besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. new wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved. Now, Jesus says this at a time when the religious leaders are criticizing him for the behavior of his disciples. They are disturbed because his disciples were acting different than the other disciples they were accustomed to. They had a different mentality and a different philosophy than the religion of the day. And Jesus did not apologize for their uniqueness. It is natural when you are different to get criticized. But Jesus did not let their criticism deter him from his mission. And rather than to buckle to the criticism around him, he challenged them to come up to the standard of his teaching. Through a simple illustration, he tried to help them understand why the people of the day were not all diving in headfirst into church loyalty and going all in their commitments, because the church was only comfortable with the things that were tried and true, the old fabric of the church. And here Jesus was weaving a new tapestry with a new image of God. He uses this imagery of attaching new fabric to the old one because everyone at that time understood that if you did so, that the new fabric would react differently to the surrounding climate and it would shrink and tear away from the old because the two different fabrics have different textures and experiences. In fact, Jesus is saying, when you're getting ready for something new, you have to be careful that you don't try to attach it to something old unless you ruin the integrity of both things. To further their understanding, he uses an illustration that's very typical at the time, something that they could relate to. Winemaking was a prevalent industry in that area. And Jesus said, you wouldn't take new wine that's subject to going through changes and put it into old skins because old skins lack the flexibility to be able to make the adjustments and adapt to the growth process. So what he wants them to understand is that the problem you are having with me is that I've come to bring something new, but your religious systems and your framework of thinking is so old and antiquated and concrete that it would burst you to receive what I have to give you. God is starting a revolution right there. He's made you to be a revolutionary right here. He didn't give power for us to just sit together and sing songs and have potlucks. When God called Moses, and the first question God asked was, what is that in your hand? What you already have within your grasp? That's the thing that God has given you to do mighty things for the kingdom of God. So my question is, what has God given you? What is in your hands that not only gives you purpose, but gives you hope today?
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Roy, for sharing that inspiring message.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope. We're so glad you tuned in. And if you would like to learn more about us or share with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to tune in tomorrow at the same time. We're going to share with you why you should embrace Fiji time and how to keep your and your loved ones' emotional tanks full. If you enjoyed your devotional thought this morning, please visit hope.study for your free Bible study guides.
And friends, before we go, as we always love to do, we have a Bible promise just for you. Today's Bible promise says, they are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do. Psalms chapter 1, verse 3.
That's beautiful. You know, friends, this can be you, and this can be me. This verse is for those who delight and meditate in the law of the Lord. I want this wonderful promise, don't you?
Amen. You know, we enjoyed our time together today, and we can't wait to see you tomorrow. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, today, Lord, we have been planted by the streams of water. We have been refreshed, we have been renewed, and we have been filled. And we pray, Lord, that as we go out throughout the day, that you would keep us faithful, that you would keep our spiritual tanks full, that you would keep our emotional tanks healthy and strong. And Lord, may we always be mindful of you. May we always remember that we are never alone. At any given time, you are there with us. So we thank you for answering our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.